Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast monthly album roundup for the month of May 2024. I'm your host, Robert, and no, not Tyler! He was my favorite smiling friend! How could you do this, boss? And with me, I have...
Liquid Death iced tea is a fucking scam. There's like no flavor in it. I want my money back. I bought 3 cans of that. I want my $6.75 back.
And
you mean the human afternoon service gets more views than the ones among subscriptions? This will be last month? Shocked, I say. Okay, not that shocked.
Yeah, that's right.
Telling you, so a lot of y'all out there, you are underestimating how serious Tubi is when it comes to the play on the board.
it's like wanting to get the top tier entertainment, top tier original entertainment. and they get stuff like sitcoms been canceled a long time ago. Like, for example, I watched all of Eve a few weeks ago. Recently. They ended badly. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, CW.
Oh yeah, I remember Eve. I liked that show, and then.
Yeah, I will say some things about it has not aged well.
Oh, undoubtedly. Like, a lot of the stuff from that era of sitcom has not aged well at all.
Yeah.
I have never heard of that show before, so I'll take your word for it. But this is not a sitcom podcast. Yet. This is a music podcast, and we of course have our May 2024 roundup, which... actually did bring quite a lot to the table. High profile, more in-the-know type stuff. Maybe some lulls here and there, depending on how much of a, how much you're up for the Schadenfreude. So, let's not beat around the bush anymore. Let's get right into it. Of course, starting with a somewhat detailed rundown of what exactly came out this past month. Of course, there's odds are good that there's some cracks that have yet to be filled in this list. This is just the ones that stuck out the most, so... let's start with the week of May 3rd, 2024. From Willow, we have her newest album, Empathogen. From guitarist Emdo Mokhtar, his newest album, Funeral for Justice. From saxophonist Kamasi Washington, we had Fearless Movement. From John Carpenter, Cody Carpenter, and Daniel Davies, we had Lost Themes 4, Noir. From Sia, we had the album Reasonable Woman, which she is most definitely not. I remember music. We would never forget. I'm pretty sure at the last autism meeting I was at, we all publicly disowned her. She's our enemy for life. And then, of course, there was... oh, shit, right. There was a Dua Lipa album that came out. Radical Optimism or something?
Oh, yeah, that happened.
Anyway, moving on to the week of May 10th, 2024. There was a new 6 Feet Under album, Killing for Revenge, a.k.a. an album that only exists to be listened to if you lose a bet. I heard the last 6 Feet Under album. Fuck that shit. From Like Moss to Flames, there was the album The Cycles of Trying to Cope. From Power Man 5000, we had Abandoned Ship, fitting title. Arf Arf, by which I mean there was a new Knocked Loose album, You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To. From producer Igloo Ghost, we had Tidal Memory Exo. From Gunna, we had One of One. From Ghostface Killa, we had a new project, Set the Tone, parentheses, Guns N' Roses. From Conway the Machine, we had the Slant Face Killa. From Kings of Leon, we had Can We Please Have Fun? Not if you're doing the soundtrack. And from country singer Orville Peck, we had the album Stampede Volume 1. Then, of course, somewhere in between those two Fridays on May 13th, we had the new Childish Gambino, well, air quotes new, Atavista, that being the official fully produced release of the 31520 project. Now we move on to May 17th, 2024. We had Carrie King's solo debut album, We Have Slayer at Home. from a guitarist we generally care about much more, we had the new Marty Friedman album, Drama. And speaking of guitarists again, there was the new Slash project, Orgy of the Damned. From the band Pallbearer, we had the new album Mind Burns Alive. If you're a 2010s prog metal kid, if you still care about this band, there was the new Intervals album Memory Palace. Jamie Josta with the new solo album And Josta for All. Okay, seriously, I know I read this the week it came out. There's still no way that's the actual title, is it? Fuck. Anyway, from Gate Creeper, we had their new album Dark Superstition. From Shellac, we had To All Trains. From Combi Christ, we had, well, Combi Christ without the vowels. From A Boogie With Da Hoodie, there was the new project Better Off Alone. Here's a name I haven't thought about in a while. From Kamea, the new album Figuring Out My Emotions. From Mac Hami, the new project Hashtag Rich Ass Haitian. From the band Cage the Elephant, there was the new album Neon Pill. From the band Of Montreal, there's Lady on the Cusp. From New Kids on the Block, Still Kids. No, the fuck you ain't.
50.
I'm pretty sure you guys are like 2 weeks away from qualifying for Social Security. Or retirement. Anyway. Of course, from various artists, there was the soundtrack for Everyone's Getting Involved, a tribute to Talking Heads' Stop Making Sense. From Zane, there was a new album, Room Under the Stairs. And from Billie Eilish, we had her newest album, Hit Me Hard and Soft. From May 24th, we had the new Bring Me the Horizon album, Post-Human Next Gen.
Main event, people, stick around.
Soon. From Machine Drum, we had the new project, 3482. If you're into Lenny Kravitz, there was a new album, Blue Electric Light. A posthumous release from the late Aaron Carter with the Recovery album. If you're still into 21 Pilots for some reason, there's the album Clancy. And from Vince Staples, we had the newest album, Dark Times. Now we're moving on to May 31st, very final Friday. So there was the new album from sludge metal band Thou with Umbilical. There was a new Bad Omens remix album called Concrete Jungle, the OST. As a reminder, and this is very, very hilarious, there was, in fact, a new Trapped album called The Fall. And I just want to make a tangent right now. I Googled to see if I could find any information on the sales figures for the album. I found nothing other than just articles digging at the sales figures for Shadow Work. Does this mean that the sales might be even worse? Who knows?
It's 40 copies.
And last but certainly not least, from one of Crash Thompson's boys, a Swamp Dog, we have Blackgrass from West Virginia to 125th Street. So yeah, that was a mix of albums that were noteworthy for reasons that are good, for reasons that are bad, and for reasons that are Bring Me the Horizon. But now we move on to actually digging into some of these albums in far more detail. So of course, as always, we throw it over to Alex, who has the floor.
Yes, and as usual, I will start with only a couple of things because, well, either some of these albums I know you two are going to talk about, or I just didn't have a whole lot to say about it, which might be worse, but it is what it is. I have very peculiar tastes. Oh, and since I wasn't here last month for April because of reasons, I think I was sick or whatever, I'll just throw this in here. See You Space Cowboy, Coup de Grace, fantastic. Lubricate Like Kerosene is banger AF.
Wow.
Yeah, just thought I'd mention that. It's a good album. All right. Oh, I think we forgot to mention, running down the albums from May, I think there were, let me do the math here, 57 new variants of that Taylor Swift album that came out.
Why are
you doing this?
Gaming the annoying metrics.
That's just really annoying. And
I guess I'm trying to battle Billie Eilish, I think.
Among others, but that's a teaser for next month because there's another album I'm going to be waiting to talk about that None of you are ever going to guess, but we'll get there in time. So, for the month of May, I had a couple of choice picks here. First, with this Childish Gambino album, Ata Vista. Yeah, we were there when that surprise shop happened on the fourth day of the pandemic in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That feels like an eternity ago. And yeah, apparently that has been reworked into a full album. We have it here. And I will say, for trying to approach it as like more of a modern R&B album, there are some tracks in here I like. The title track is good. Algorithm is good. Human Sacrifice and The Violence, those are pretty good. Some of the features don't quite work on here. Like, I don't know. Summer Walker on Sweet Thing, I don't know. Something about it just didn't click. Same with Ariana Grande on Time. And why is 21 Savage here?
I guess to return the favor for what was happening with Savage's last album?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, some of the features don't quite work. And I'll be honest, some of the tracks on here are a little too long. Like, it feels like it's being stretched a little too far to make it seem grander than they are. Like, some of these tracks will need to be 5 or 6 minutes long. You can trim some of that here. And that's coming from me, the guy who listens to long music all the damn time. If I'm telling you to trim your shit, trim your shit. Yeah, again, there are some good tracks on here. As a whole album, it's a little, it kind of slips a little bit. Again, with some of the features on here not really clicking all that well, but points for the effort. I will commend Donald Glover for putting together, you know, an R&B album like this. I like it. I like R&B stuff like this. But yeah, maybe don't go so deep on the features on the next album. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, we'll just wait and see what happens there. I will lump these next two albums together as a category of my own. I enjoy late 90s, early 2000s house music. I have here, from Death, Dynamic, Shroud, and Galen Tipton, You Like Music, and Igloo Ghost, Tidal Memory at EXO.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah, little thing about me. Growing up in the late 90s, I was aware of a lot of the sort of rise of EDM and house music and techno, and I kind of liked it. Then again, it also sort of stems back to playing Midnight Club on the PS2 when I was a kid.
Wow. Y'all
know the track that starts the game, right?
Vaguely.
Kind of, maybe.
Yeah, look up Rhythm is Rhythm. The track is called The Beginning. It's fantastic. So yeah, I have not dived into this kind of music for a while, mostly because a lot of it doesn't really appeal to me. But when it hits right, it hits right. And these two albums, they hit very right. Igloo Ghost is more of that sort of quote-unquote traditional house style. Whereas with this You Like Music album, it's a bit more in your face. Either way, I like it. I like music that reminds me of Midnight Club and Connecticut. Fantastic games. Play them.
I actually replayed Connecticut a bit ago. Like, I saw it was, like, downloadable on the PlayStation Network and stuff. Fun time.
It is. Alright, I will slip this in here as well. Hey, anime fans. Y'all know the band Cold Rain, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they did the theme songs for Bastard on Netflix and Ninja Kamui. They did something kind of neat. Out of nowhere, at the end of May, they put out on all the major platforms what they call Final Destination 15 Re-Recorded, which is their first album re-recorded for the 15th anniversary. Do you all like Japanese metalcore? Then you will love this album. And yes, it does have Vengeance on here at the end as a little bonus. Apparently, they put out this album out while they were on tour. They did it at the end of one of their shows in Japan back in February, and it's now here. So if you like Japanese metalcore, here you go. It's very good. And speaking of metalcore, quote-unquote, arf, arf, motherfuckers.
Woo!
So, Knocked Loose, You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To. I have a theory about a lot of stuff I hear in music nowadays. Singles and videos suck. They never give you proper context of what the whole album is actually supposed to be. I have proclaimed my hesitation towards this band being a little too away from my style and sensibility. Then I listened to the album. My reaction was a very simple, oh fuck, this is actually really good. Again, the singles do not do it justice. That'll come back next month. Just I'm gonna foreshadow it. It's gonna come back around next month. But yeah, this album, this isn't a metalcore album. This is a deathcore album.
Wow.
Like I can hear it. I can hear the ring in the snare drum. I can hear, you know, the visceral guitar sound. This is a deathcore album, and I like that. This is like what happens if you cross Korn with Mitch Lucker era Suicide Silence. I like that. It even has a good poppy feature on here. Do you know how hard it is to do that?
It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah. I will not give as high of a credential to Mr. Motionless here, but I will say, in the context of the song he's on, it kind of works. But no, I will not listen to Motionless in White on its on their own. I just won't. Out of principle, I will not.
Yeah. I'll drink to that.
Yeah. So this is your one, Chris. This is your one, Chris. Don't ruin it. But yeah, this album, very good. Like Fantano mentioned in his video review about how good it sounds. I will co-sign on that. This is a finely produced and mixed album. It has all the, you know, typical hardcore and, you know death sounds, all the very visceral low-end guitars, which the answer to the question of how low are they tuned is yes. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of pronounced low-end in here. That is very good. And the snare drum actually sounds like a snare drum, not like just a pillow being hammered, like a lot of fucking metal, modern metal sounds nowadays. Ugh. So, yeah. You win this round, Knock Loose. I will arf arf to that. But there's one more here. The biggest pop release of the month. I'm sorry, Dua Lipa. Swing and a miss. Billie Eilish, Hit Me Hard and Soft. An album with no promo singles at the start. Very interesting to do nowadays because, you know, everybody has to get on the train of getting all of the pre-release hype and, you know, getting all the singles, charts everywhere because reasons.
Yeah.
So I will say thank you for not doing that here. I appreciate that. So this album is very, very concise and to the point, which I admire. It's 10 tracks, just over 40 minutes. It's so nice to have an album that knows how to just stand on its own without too much filler. As in, no filler at all. Unlike certain other artists. Yeah, and I think we can read between the lines on that. So for this album, I will say this to one Miss Billiam Eilish O'Connell, not her real name, I just made that up. Welcome to the Queer Kids Club. You will get your Letterman jacket in the mail in 4 to 6 weeks, and You'll get a handbook as well. Welcome to our club. One of us, Google fucking gobble. Great, great melodies. A lot of soul-crushing vocals in you know, parts of here. It kind of blends, like, 80s pop with Church's-style indie arrangements. It doesn't make sense out of context. Trust me on it. You listen to it, you will understand what I mean. And in the grand scheme of the, I guess you could say, Billie Eilish discography, When We All Fall Asleep was a very brash mission statement. Happier Than Ever was very suave and controlled anger. This album I would call an album of matured discovery. And I like it. It's very good. It's just, it cuts at the right places. And it knows when to go out on a high note. Blue is a very good album closer.
Yes, yes it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are my prerequisite albums for the month. But that also comes with an update of the final collection. Because, yes, I have gotten more albums for the collection, which I need to get new shelves real soon. So bad. I gotta go to IKEA one of these days. But yeah, I did buy that album on vinyl from Target, because of course I did. I also bought since April the Cyberpunk Edgerunner soundtrack. Nice. The Chainsaw Man soundtrack. I got Sleep Tokens, Sinking Back to Eden, Death Clocks, that's album 4. Stephen Wilson's Harmonic Divergence from Record Store Day. And I also got Emerson, Lake & Palmer's Works Volume 2. Fragile from Yes. Paper Cuts from Linkin Park. And Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter. Which apparently has some tracks omitted from that release. So there's another version of it. But fuck it. I'm not going to buy it twice. I already bought it once. Because it was at a good price. I need new shelves. So, yeah. That's me for May, and I'll come back around to what's going to happen in June, and you're never going to guess what I'm going to talk about.
I'm preparing all my guesses right now, and I'm sure they're all wrong. But anyway, yeah, that wraps up Alex's end of the spectrum. So now to move on to the second part of this podcast, which, as always, is Mark and his many albums to offer.
Yes. Well, May was very beefy. Very also beefy. With a bunch of what you said for me and a bunch of shit that you didn't introduce, so yeah, let's get to it. So yeah, so I'm number one out of who knows. So yeah. First up, Vince Staples. With Dark Times. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, it's so dark that the album cover's just, well, it's news, but...
Yeah, I had to strain my eyes real hard to see the album title even in there.
Yeah, you had to squint to see what it is, but anyway, for the album, well, if you know even Staples albums, like, you know, the contemplative, introspective, and give me a downer when you go to lyrical content and subject matter. Because, well, we know shit about, you know, this neighborhood, this past, going up with people, whether they be alive or not, going up through a bunch of shit. Like, you kind of know you're going there. I mean, with the intro, Close Your Eyes and Swing, because with this haunting, atmospheric instrumental with the other line, to live is to be like the nigga in the tree. Which, wait. Okay, anyway. That leads to Black and Blue and how he feels about being on top of the world while to reality of his past world, either from gangbanging or, you know, folklore, as he calls it, and it's the black and blue, you know, colors often describe, you know, sadness and negative emotions, which, yeah. Duke and Government Cheese, where they see him grapple with bull losses, like one being his homie in prison, experience survivor's guilt and then it's him bears with a brother and pulling the face. You know, everything's all good. Which, like, yeah, he's just putting the face just to have the pain of all the shit. Children's Song is Vince telling everybody that he's not, he ain't about that life. He just will live a normal everyday life, and also we will not play with your crib and play with your kids. And yes, I know it's in the opening when he said, "Crescent fire to the pan, feed my Aphex twin." Hey. That's the type of Glock he was referring to.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know, he might be a fan of Let the Ambient Works 85 to 92.
I mean, that is a good album, to be fair.
Yes, it is. Like, there's also the single Shame of the Devil, which, you know, the first single that came out before the release, like, it was a 50 second promo clip all about not giving to the vices that come with fame, like drugs, alcohol, flying on light, loose women. I mean, we kind of knew that because Vince always said that he's been doing it like the straight laced life, as in, he don't smoke. He just say, "I'm gonna do my shit and go home." I remember that from that if he did on Hot Ones.
It's true.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. And we'll say, while some of it has been, mostly, saturating and emotional. Once, I gotta say this for the name right. Etouffee. Yeah, that has some bounce to it. Like, this is the most entertaining track. Most entertaining track of the album. Like, it looks like it's gonna catch you too. Like, I can see what's going on here.
I guess you could say they were really cooking on that one.
Yeah. All right. They got two tracks. The interlude being Liars, where it's an intercept of an unseen interview with Dickie Giovanni and James Baldwin talking about relationships, arguing with a relationship across two people. We've got a track Justin, where Vince asks about, him being a girl, if it can, it might hit it off, it might go to something, maybe like, I'm feeling this girl, all right. Cause might be like, as soon as actual boyfriend, I'm like, this little cousin Justin, like, ah, shit. And of course, I think she's a shit because she might have one of those guys that be, very, very, kind of dangerous. At least that's what I get from Lance. Like, I know the actual, he says, women lie a lot, but that's him the disappointment, as in, like, man, maybe I like this girl, but women be kind of scary to deal with, which, I mean, it's all to deal with that shit, but yeah. Then there's radio, where he did, where he's, you know, run the radio with his favorite station, and considering where Vince is at, with his, of course, Big Boy in the Morning, it's just like, 92.3/9.7 The Wave. Second verse, Vince does reference on the music that, needs something, is needed where you're going to something. It's like, I know who wants to get over late. I know they've been playing Nelly today. My favorite rapper too, I hit 7th grade. Aaron played Below the Heavens and everything changed. A better day. This is a stone throw away. Half stone's throw. Also Below the, Below the Heavens is an album from Blue and Exile, which I heard is pretty good. Yeah. That's really good. And of course, you got the next two checks with Nothing Matters, Little Homies and Freeman, with the former doing the impression of Lauryn Hill's The Angels, Nothing Even Matters, the medium being Keep Your Head Up, Little Homies, and the latter, last time on Def Jam, meaning, he's saying, like, it's been all good, it's been all good, peace, y'all, doing something else. I mean, I guess it means he's going independent now? I guess it mean that. I don't know. I mean,
we'll have to wait and see.
And of course, the final track is Why Won't the Sun Come Out? And that's more of an epilogue of the album because it's a spoken word piece performed by singer Santi Gold. It's more of a conversation after Staples played the album, which, of course, the other this line, it's easier to go to come over and get you pussy than it is to come and come over and give you a hug. Okay. I mean, I never had that feeling before, but okay. Which, of course, everyone does get let's do it justice. And, okay, and I'll say this. I know people say it's the best record since FM. I'm disagreeing. It's the best record since Big Fish Theory.
Wow.
Okay. Yes, we know he talks a lot about the heavy subject matter that, let's be honest, we heard everything else, but again, like, everything's viewed from his, you know, from his, with POV, and always he does with a really fun approach. Like, no fluff, no over dramatization or whatever the fuck does with this thing, like how he goes through it. It's like, yeah, it's like he shows what we know about Vince, like, you know, he's a very mature person. He got a lot to do with his life, which I get that from him a lot. So yeah, got another direct from him. And yeah, his last on Death Jam, which, again, that confused me for a bit too, but whatever, he's in there too. But yeah, so yeah, it's a good record. And before I end things off, I've got to put one more thing. Season 2!
Yeah!
We got to have more of this staple show coming whenever, I don't know when, but, yes, I hope it's more than 5 episodes, but who knows, I don't know, like, if it's that good, then okay to keep it that way, but still, give it more. Also, speaking of Netflix, give it more Dungeon Dungeon 2, Season 2 coming up for that one, too.
Woo!
Which, that makes sense, that the way they end it is like, Okay, I'm getting off topic.
From what I heard, it's like literally at the halfway point of where the manga was, so yeah, season 2, they probably finished it all right there.
Ah, yeah, let's hope so. Awesome, alright. And now move the other albums. Whoop! Once again, look at that clock.
Griselda?
Yes. Yeah, so we got Conway the Machine with Slant Face Killer. You wonder why I call it that? Well, you've seen his face. You know, thinking about, you know, about his shit before, but yeah, you know, cerebral palsy and all that shit. But all this, yeah. So yeah, as you know, originally he's supposed to be B-sides for his fellow to what won't he do it way back last year, which was okay record. You know my thing with Conway. Like again, my thing with Conway is. His albums are good. Yes, they are, but people like way up top. Mine, not so much, but I still recommend it. But yeah, although I see most people get worn out of anything Griselda related for the past couple of years, at least most to general audiences. But I still dug some of this. Like it's still a joint that I like joints like Muddy, which I thought was good. Can't Stress Larry June was pretty good. Backpack with Method Man was fire, and everybody said to call it Method Man selling this rap game with his verse, like, yeah, the dude, dude was like, what, 50 and still rapping? Going well. I was listening to people say shit about the one song, 10, Raya Interlude, and you got Coin rapping on trap beats, which, well, I'm not surprised at this point. I mean, he hasn't tried to get a little bit of Mishy sound for a while now. I mean, I didn't mind it. It ain't one of my favorites, but I'm like, eh, alright, that's fine. Same with the one track Raw with Tech N9ne, which people on the beat made from Cardo, which, okay, I thought that was pretty well too. And then, like, the one track I liked the most out of that is the last track, The Red Moon in Osaka, which sounds like a random anime episode. Which features a spoken word message from Wake Corner of all people, from, you know, him getting across the whole Griselda crew, from coming this far in the rap game. And yes, this one was produced with Alchemist as well. Well, this track, I mean, video producers like, you know, like Cardo, Conductor Williams, of course, there's a lot of people in there, but this is what I said from this album, it's cool, like, some might appeal to some hardcore fans. The moment with the trap beats is sort of like how most people were iffy on Westside Gunn's last album, but I still think some might dub some of the tracks in there. But yeah, this is, it's pretty okay from one and two. Yeah. And I got one artist that we ain't heard for a long time, but she has an album out. Rhapsody. Remember her?
I think so.
Yes. Last thing you heard her was 2019 with her album on the title Eve. Okay. This record is Please Don't Cry. It's just she has new material. And of course, she spends a lot of content here in a conversation about sexuality, whether it's about dementia, police brutality, and more importantly, okay, You know how most dumbasses and douches are talking about how these sexual rappers, how dare they do this shit? She getting tired of people praise her by basically deriding up other rappers that aren't like her, like basically saying, why can't you be like her even though y'all don't give a damn about her? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, like she got tired of shit. Like, I kind of get it, why you care about me now? You didn't care about them, but now when other rappers like me for the rise of, that is some fuck shit. Of course, he got some elements of R&B, reggae, and trap sounds in the mix, and Sonic Tone of it is kind of good here. She does get a little warm some tracks, and even though the album's called Please Don't Cry, it's like, the irony is, it's telling you to do so. It's like, cry you want. Of course, she lives in like both, of course, and of course, rapidly delivers with, both the content and the bars. And the thing's not too bad either. Like, you hear people like Erykah Badu, Baby Tate, Lisa Rashad, as in, the mom from the Cosby Show. And last season was on The Beekeeper. Yeah, that movie.
Oh, yeah, that did come out crazy. This year.
That was a crazy ass flick. So many bee puns. But I would say that was pretty good. Like, it's not like, good work on Frosty's part. And yeah, it's worth checking out. But next one we have here is Ghostface Killah, Set the Tone, Guns N' Roses. It's been a while since I heard a Ghostface album. And okay, I thought, all right, I'm gonna check this one out. And then I thought, I'm mixed. I'm like, man, I want to like some of it, but some of it's kind of a letdown. I mean, like, first tracks I admit I like, you got features from Sheik Loach, Nas, Method Man, yes, him again. Raekwon, yes, him again, because they did this shit well. Of course, this one feature that got me being like Kenan Thompson.
Wait, do you mean like that Kenan Thompson?
Okay. I was saying the one feature that got me like Kenan Thompson.
Oh.
You'll see. Yeah. And that feature is, oh, hey, Jesus.
Oh.
Again, hence Kenan Thompson, as in, why? Of course, my expectation was low as hell, and I would expect nothing good out of it. It was the verse good? No. I'll say this, there wasn't no anti-Semitic shit in there. It's a very cringy sex verse. So basically, back to the speeches we didn't use back in the day. So at least I can say that, but it ain't just him. The half of this album is him, like, okay, I know that, like, the tone, Guns N' Roses, like, of course, Guns N' Roses, like, the other part got, this R&B flair in him, and, I mean, I'm not sure him doing R&B, like, him doing R&B shit is not a shocker. I mean, he did one before, like, the one called Ghost Dini, which has the one track that I kind of play a lot, but, like, you got the one that I play a lot, but, like, yeah, you don't want to share to anybody else, but, yeah, this... Most of the R&B tracks are kind of dull. Like, I don't know, maybe we can just didn't care. I mean, my stage was very low with the Kanye verse, and apparently Ja Rule was there for some reason. Like, why are you here?
Cash a paycheck, that's why.
I mean, this one, I didn't feel most of it. Like, I'm kind of just there. And of course, the beat selection is just it didn't hit me, it'd be like, yeah, I gotta hear this over again. It'd be like, okay, that's cool, all right. I mean, and of course, you keep leaning on the album. You're also hyping up, like, it's like coming out with Supreme Clientele 2, which I hope is better than this. And thankfully, he said No Face was supposed to be on that album, which Good thing it wasn't. Let's hope this shit is better. Let's hope the album is better than this one, because this one's just not as great. Sorry. Yeah, no.
I will co-sign the feeling on that feature. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next one we have is Makami with hashtag rich ass Haitian. Which I will go in depth except I can't, because I don't know if you notice about Makami and lyrics. They're not on Genius. You can't be sure if that shit. You can try, but the thing is, like, he said, yeah, don't put that shit on there. Like, if you look up lyrics on the album, like, you get lyrics from the features. It's not him. I mean, and then again, knowing that Makami himself is kind of a mystery because, like, you see the album cover, he always has, like, a mask, whether it be, was it Haiti and all that shit. Is it, and him don't know what his face looks like. Well, we even know his fucking real name, to be honest. And I heard for some reason it got taken off Spotify for some reason. Which I gotta say, good things on Apple Music. And I get the feeling of why he wore two lyrics, like, get verse with the music or something like that, which, okay, fine, I get that. Good thing is in the review. But I will say, I like the album. Like, the sound is great. The folks from, patient culture and surroundings is actually kind of good. And Makami is good. Makami is good in here. Like, the features are great enough. You got, the one verse that your old Drew on that one song, I gotta say, be lucky those lyrics are these, because, I want to say, that's not your best verse, dude. Or at least it was good until that one, until it get to the point like, what the hell? If you listen to the song, we'll say tracks like Copy Cold with Black Fart and Cool Aid Chris, pretty good. And Same 24, also good. And also, it got the top track with a Kitchen Island production, which pretty good too. Dance, yeah, groovy, all that shit. Stay tuned for next month. But it's something you have to, say something to listen to. And probably if you're somebody who is going to do an interview with this, you probably have to really listen to that. Cause. Still, that was pretty good. And now for another album that I have to check for myself, because I figured, okay, I'm going to check this out. This one is from Big Hit. Now, he's a rapper that I don't know much about, except for the fact that he's the follow-up producer Hit Boy, and he'd appeared on one of Hit Boy's albums, Surfer Drown 2, I think around a few years back, last year too, with The Truth Is In My Eyes. So, okay, let me phrase that. That's Big Hit, Hit Boy, and The Alchemist.
Damn.
And the album's called Black and Whites, which, see, the album cover is in black and white, and, well, Alchemist is white. Big Hit is doing the rapping, Hit Boy the Alchemist, or the producing. And I'll tell you this, if I look every time I heard an album solo produced by these two, I have two nickels. Hey. It isn't much, but weird it happened twice this year. Hey. Although I have to say, like, of course I got an album that being Beanie Butchers, Everybody Can Go. I gotta say, I like this one better. I thought the beat sound grimier and menacing, and while I was out of his beats, Hit Boy Selection was dope as well. Like, but he has some ground on these beats. Like, you're telling the dude, I think the dude's like around his 50s, which, of course that proves that, rappers over 50, they can still bring it. And it's some type of medicine because, there's experience. It's like a well-seasoned steak or good wine.
God, now I want steak.
You're on like, oh, and also on title track, Blacks and Whites, yeah, you can hear Hit-Boy Alchemist rap as well, which, all right, I mean, all right, good on that. And here's the thing, this was the last thing I heard as I was, you know, writing out my album, I was looking like, who's this one? Guess I'm going to one on two, because, yeah, like I said, this is the last one, the last album that I, this was like, I add to, because like, Yeah, I had to check this out. And yeah, I'm glad I did. This was pretty good. I saw some green from this shit. And now we move from hip hop to jazz. Well, at least it has to hip hop. But yeah, anyway, Kamasi Washington, Fearless Movement. Of course, it's been 6 years since his last album. And of course, I'm so excited about him doing music for the new anime Lazarus. Which has me interested in hearing this new project, and of course, you know this shit, like, you know, his project's gonna be long, which, again, album's length with amount of time works, doesn't work this here because album's length with amount of time, like, well, say an hour and a half, I forgot, but it works in his favor, and yeah, instrumentation soars through the roof and excels at creating a mood that is, as ups, downs, peaks, whatever the hell you think of even music, like, him, you know, the people, you know, like, him, Thundercat, OG1000, George Clinton, Terrace Martin, they did a thing here. We'll see, the track, Get Lit with George Clinton and D-Smoke, name that. Oh, yeah, I heard that guy, but yeah, they'll say, it's an album that you have to make time for, which is worth it, they what you listen to. Okay, these next, well, I say these are EPs. These are EPs that might be an album soon, but I guess it's out at least more on it. So anyway, Bad Not Good. They have an album called Mitch Brown coming out, and they release it in three EPs. That being Chaos, Order, and Growth.
Huh.
Which apparently the album will come out in October. They're gonna get with their, you know, cross-pollinating genres into something unique, and okay, they got some good shit going on there. We'll say Taco, then Keep Taco Taco. That, I don't know what they think with that song, but. But yeah, all the EPs got the chill vibe. They got done, and some good shit over there. Although I guess since I pretty much talking about the album because that's what the EPs are. But these two EPs are. But yeah, I mean, if I do it again, I'll just say, that was a good one. And now the next two I'm gonna talk about is. Okay, I'm gonna steal from Rob and say that this is music that reminds me of Adult Swim or Adult Swim Secrets program, and I kind of think you know what they are.
Machine Drum.
Okay, that's one of them. Guess over that one. Yeah. Okay. Fuck it. Machine Drum. 3 for 82. This is more you know, electronic of a mix up. Which one will mix up, you know, hip hop and R&B on the record since there's a lot of artists like Mick Jenkins, Tinashe, J.C. Borkins III, Duckworth, and a bunch of other acts on my family with like Topaz Jones, Dean Spencer, aka the Savior, among others. Like, some, like, they seem to have a good vibe throughout, like, whether it be stuff, songs like Zoom with Tinashe or Oracle, Chris, Bless, Respect, with spelled with a K, and Heal. Like, again, yeah, it's basically like, you know, the white people have him, a few of you, even that one copy did with Jimmy Edgar's Jets. But once again, this shit doesn't remind me of what I hear from adults right here for some more time. And this is good shit. Now, the other one I was about to say first, but I say fuck it, I'm gonna put this one. Evil Ghost, Title Memory EXO.
Ah.
And it's just a resort. This has a lot of bangers from here. Like, I think some, like, I want to say, I think some tracks have a Jewel influence in them because every time I hear some of it, I keep thinking, Also, the drill song on here, which, okay. I will say the one track that I love the most is Nematode, which that shit will go hard. That shit will go hard in the clubs. Like, so I'm like, oh, all right. Oh, shit. like you play this in a, you play this if you enter a nightclub and this shit will, and this will play. I'm like, okay, this shit the tone just right. I'm really liking this. And I want to know on the album cover, it's like, where is he DJing at? In the desert? It's like, who are you DJing to? Like, right. And of course, last one left is one that, well, I'm a Billie Eilish, Hit Me Hard and Soft. I got what to say, except, all right, I thought this was good. I will say I like it more than her previous album, but not above her first album. I will say if I have to rank them all, it would be first one, third one, second one. They're all good, by the way. Just make sure I get that clarified. But yeah, it's technically 10 songs with, you know, about 44 minutes in the course. Of course, that's just kind of interesting right here. Like, in the course, all the things that Alex said in the beginning, because I'm too easy to do it, but yeah, like, all that shit, which, all right, which, I could come for her. And of course, you got songs like Lunch, I like, The Diner, pretty good, Blue, yeah, Purple Way to End the album. I will say this, I like Chihiro. Yeah, I love that song for how Wally's different sounds. But yeah, I gotta say, like, okay. All right, this is a good album, which, yeah, like, it's a good album for her. And, of course, I don't hear that fake, no, she's not in her flop era. She's just not dependent on shit like she's not dependent on shit like Billboard or being a top 40 artist. She's just doing her fucking thing. Okay, and yes, that's everything. That's all. I lost count. That's all the albums I did.
All right. Cool. Now time for some relaxation while I get to all my stuff. So, as always, I got my top picks, quick round, and the rare instance where I have a low light, because I've been trying to save my mental health by avoiding stuff I know is going to be bad, but I just had to take the bait anyway. But anyway, let's start with the good stuff. So my top picks. First two I'm going to breeze through really quickly because they already got brought up. So Kamasi Washington, Fearless Movement, very good jazz, as always. A lot of the features and stuff are really good, especially that duet with Andre 3000. And it feels like it kind of leans way more into like an R&B kind of hip-hop vibe in comparison to what I remember from like Heaven and Earth. So good stuff. And then, of course, the other one being Vince Staples' Dark Times. Which, I gotta say, for the last few albums, he's been very much kind of, like, up in his feelings, kind of, for lack of a better term, sad boy rap. Which almost feels kind of insulting to Vince, because he's honestly way better than, like, so many other of the sad boy rap guys we get these days. Mostly because, yeah, like, you know, he can actually write good lyrics, and he knows how to make songs bop, like... Seriously, I have no idea what fucking magic they were cooking on A2Fay, but, like, I was stuck in traffic on the drive on the way home, and I was listening to this album, and when it got to A2Fay, I just kept rewinding to re-listen to the song. Like, okay, I saw Dead End Hip Hop tweeting, like, hey, that feel when listening to A2Fay, and it's just, like, a clip from The Amazing World of Gumball, just Darwin dancing all over the place. That's the vibe for this song, man. Just throw it on and everything is lit. And yes, I will say it's definitely his best since Big Fish Theory, and I'm definitely not saying that because that song has a lyric aimed at people who think he peaked at Big Fish Theory. I'm just saying, like, I mean, his previous albums are good too, but like, damn, that's a very specific call out. All right, so those two out of the way, let's move on to some of the other stuff. So I've said a few times recently that while I have had a bit of knowledge of the engineering credits of the late Steve Albini, I was mainly more familiar with him as a Twitter guy with strong opinions about the music industry. So I decided to correct that understanding by listening to the back catalog of his band Shellac, where he played guitar and did vocals. Their music recently came to streaming services, all that stuff, mainly to coincide with the release of what would wind up being a posthumous effort to All Trains, an album released without advanced review copies or even promotional singles because, to borrow a quote from Albini himself, it's marketing, which is maybe my most hated thing on earth. Like, fascism is up there, but marketing is right behind, you know? And, you know, I can't entirely blame him. So, using this album kind of like as a reference point for sort of the broader Shellac discography from my understanding, what immediately stands out is how very raw the music feels when you're listening to it. It's immediately present in the production, which doesn't rely too much on, like, effects or a lot of obnoxious studio magic to overdress things. Just kind of lets the natural flavors of the music and instrumentation speak for itself. The guitar riffs have a lot of twang when present, the bass is very punchy in the mix, the drums are very similarly raw, and Albini's vocals sound like they're coming in at sort of like a natural volume level, without a lot of, without too much in terms of like effects and overdubs and all that stuff. But that rawness even kind of extends to how the songwriting itself works. Albini's vocals and his performances are very kind of a spoken word stream of conscious, especially when you listen to some of the lyrics. The drums tend to play a lot of these fills that almost kind of sound like warming up in between songs or improvising on the spot. The interplay between guitar and bass often tends to have the bass lines kind of on repeat with some breathing room while the guitar is belt out chords and licks in these kind of random spots. The performances, if I had to describe it, feel more like they're playing for a live setting, as opposed to trying to maintain the rigidity of your typical studio recording. And that makes for a pretty damn cool rock record, in my opinion. And yeah, speaking of stream of conscious lyrics, I would like to cite the last line from the last record, which is kind of haunting when you think about it. The line, "If there's a heaven, I hope they're having fun. Because if there's a hell, I'm gonna know everyone."
You.
Yeah. Moving on to the next one here, another one that's gotten brought up already. Igloo Ghost's Tidal Memory EXO. Yet another collection of very wonky-as-hell dense electronic music following Leyline Eon from 2011. And in a lot of ways, yeah, the style is still pretty consistent, with the mix of distorted, pitch-shifted vocal samples, the glitchy, computery soundscapes that can jump from chaotic to oddly serene at a moment's notice, a lot of blown-out bass and low-end, all that kind of stuff. You have songs like Dewdrop Signal and Germ Chrism, which do well to balance out these two extremes, and tracks like Echo Lace, which are far more downbeat, with songs like New Species and Coral Mimic definitely feel way more like they lean into adrenaline, though. I would say if there's a key difference between this and Leyline Eon, it would be the latter had more of a specific attention to, like, melody through a heavy use of, like, string accompaniments and all that in the mix, while this one kind of pulls back on that stuff and even kind of gets a bit more industrial in spots. So, yeah, pretty good stuff. Of course, I also listened to the new Billie Eilish project, Hit Me Hard and Soft. Once again, another album much like that Shellac one, which with no pre-release singles and all that. And it definitely, you get that impression, like, when you hit play on Skinny as you're trying to, like, listen to the song and process, like, if there would be any obvious singles, that it's kind of hard to say that there are ones. That one kind of lays out the general thesis, which is kind of, like, the ups and downs of, like, a bad relationship or even bad relationships, period. Of course, things start off pretty solid with the second track, Lunch, which I guess would probably be the closest thing to, like, a single that I could think of here. Like, it's got this kind of college radio rock thing, almost kind of like modern Paramore deep cuts, and a song all about how she's very, very hungry, and not for the kind of meal you can have delivered to your home, unless, actually, hang on, let me check something. Hey, Bixby, can you order pussy on DoorDash? Bixby says no. Although I should double check with my roommates who are varying flavors of not straight. Maybe they can double check for me. But yeah, from there, we kind of get the rest of the songs, which are this great, very intense roller coaster of emotions. Like, a lot of the music can be pretty low key as kind of the usual Billie Eilish vibe. But, like, you listen to songs like Birds of a Feather, which are kind of like a mix of desperation for this person to stick around and seeming resentment over the relationship ending the way it did. Wildflower kind of sounding like there's a love triangle going on because, like, the ex went to another girl, but then those two broke up, and then the ex of that relationship went to Billy for comfort. The Greatest conveys the feeling of, like, It almost kind of feels like listening to, like, a Dolly Parton song, and that the lyrics are like, Billy's doing all the work in the relationship, only to get very little out of it from her partner. By the way, I recently started listening to Dolly Parton. She deserved so much better than whatever men she was with. But then you kind of get, like, the bitter breakup on L'Amour de ma vie. The diner, again, another kind of, like, very frustrated, horny type of song, like Lunch. Again, it's just kind of a roller coaster of these complicated emotions, and it really makes sense why she released this album the way that it did. Like, it kind of all works for this complete picture of what's been going on in that regard. So, yeah, 3 for 3. Hell yeah, Billie Eilish, let's go. Moving on to the new Thou album, Umbilical. The Louisiana Sludge Meddlers, they put out a few collaborative albums in the past few years. Specifically one with a band called Regana in 2018, and then there was that Mizemore collab in 2022. But their last standalone efforts was Magus in 2018, and the trio of EPs that came before it, making this their first standalone project in quite a while. Now, the usual Thou sound is pretty firmly in place. A lot of the songs trudging along with these thick, buzzy riffs and pounding drums with plenty of, you know, blown out noise and feedback. Brian Funk's vocals are still full of that throat-shredding menace. The songs tend to carry on for a decent bit of time. Like, it's not quite as long as Magus's run, but you do get a decent amount of, like, you know, 5 to roughly 6 minute tunes on here. And while the majority of songs are definitely in that slow to mid-tempo range, it does mix things up towards the middle of the run with some of those faster-paced songs, which, funnily enough, are the ones that we got as the pre-release singles, like I Feel Nothing When You Cry and Unbidden Guest. I would say if there's an important distinction to be made between this and Magus, it's that that one had a bit of a gloomy or melancholy pepper throughout. This one is more like menacing, sludgy bangers and such. So, yeah, another solid Thou record. And now for this last top pick here, time to bust out the arf arfs again, because, yeah, knocked loose, you won't go before you're supposed to. Coming 5 years after their last album, with one notable Coachella appearance in between. First of all, whoever was involved in determining the guitar tone for this record absolutely understood the assignment. From the moment that album opener hits, like, the amount of low-end amp feedback you get from those riffs and everything is fucking nasty as hell, and will have anyone listening to it making the face. You know the one. You know the face. They were cooking on this, and of course the rest of the band can't be ignored. The drums fucking slamming hard from the cymbals and toms, the snare with that slight hint of tinny reverberation, except actually working well here. Like, he's fucking beating the shit out of his drums like they owe him money. And of course, I've mentioned that I kind of fall hot or cold on the distinctive high-pitched yelps of vocalist Brian Garrett and all, and while I admit they're not quite for everyone, I think I'm kind of starting to get used to it. Like, I think Fantano made the argument that there's a bit more clarity to how he performs compared to other vocalists in this style, which makes some of the lyrics hit harder, and that definitely worked here. Like, of course, that heaviness alone wouldn't be enough to sell them in a world of, like, a lot of fucking hardcore and deathcore bands vying for the top spot, so it's notable that they're adding some of these distinct nuances in songs to help vary things up. Like, you get the clean bridges in songs like Moss Covers All and Take Me Home, which is kind of like a 2-for-1 deal. The album closer Sit and Mourn, which is a very melancholic sort of track. You have some of the interesting drum rhythms on songs like Suffocate, which is, again, the only time that a poppy cameo has worked. And you even have, like, some of the cool 3-4 rhythmic stuff on Don't Reach For Me, which, it's funny that Alex kind of, like, had a tangent about the way artists promote albums kind of by singles and all that stuff, because Don't Reach For Me, funnily enough, ended up being the one song I listened to the most, mostly because it probably has what are, like, my two favorite, not just the song as a whole, but, like, my two favorite lyrics on the entire album. A fitting end for an absolute fucking clown, and that's exactly why your daughter left. Goddamn. Who could he be singing about? I do not want to know. Well, maybe I do want to know. I just don't want to be the guy he's singing about, you know? So, yeah, again, 5 years well worth the wait. We have some new, this shit literally hits like a fucking sledgehammer to the nutsack. I apologize for those of you that clenched on reaction. Alright, so now let's move on to some of the quick round stuff. So, you kind of have to take a grain of salt on this one in particular, because I only just got into this artist, but Emdo Mogtar Funeral for Justice. For a bit of context, Mogtar is a guitarist who performs music, inspired by a lot of like rock and blues, but a lot of also conventions coming from his Nigerian cultural background. In fact, his early prominence came about from viral spread via, like, Bluetooth file-sharing mobile networks in Africa. Because I guess that's a thing. I kind of want to look more into that. That sounds interesting. So, he started off on his own before getting a more full band on some of his more recent albums. And this project is definitely, like, the fruition of that effort and growth at his best. Like, really full of life from the level of personality and character. Not just in Mokhtar's guitar riffs and solos and such, but also the way the backing band carries everything and fleshes out the composition. So, I would say if you're looking for a really unique rock record to listen to, something to kind of really spice up your album library, Funeral for Justice. This is some interesting stuff. Pallbearer, Mine Burns Alive. Compared to Forgotten Days from 2020, I feel like this one kind of dials back some of the more overtly heavy aspects from that record. I mean, the songs are definitely still, like, full of low end, and they're very slow-paced affairs that like to take their time. But as we got from the singles, the songs here really like to lean into the melancholic self-reflection. The perfect thing to throw on and stew in your own feelings, although I will say the album closer With Disease does kind of break out a bit more of the heaviness just to kind of like give the album one last bang, you know? This new Gate Creeper record, Dark Superstition, it returns to familiar death metal territory for the band, although amidst a lot of the rapid-fire pummeling grooves and D-beats, it definitely has more of like that, I'm trying to remember, I think Alex used the phrase 90s Headbangers Ball vibes when we were talking about the singles. There's definitely a lot of that throughout the album as a whole, and I think the band even has on occasion described themselves as, quote, arena death metal. That definitely makes sense here for kind of like the big fist pumping riffs and hooks that they go for a lot, but not bad. John Carpenter's Lost Themes Foreign War. The synths and subtle cinematic ambience are as strong as ever on this, and in particular, it feels like you get way more guitar on this compared to the previous three installments, but again, pretty good vibes. I don't need to say much about this new Machine Drum record, because again, my notes were, this is a perfect example of Adult Swim vibes, where every track could be sandwiched between, like, bumps and commercials, and, like, if it's not already, I almost kind of feel like I want to edit, like, some fake AS promos to the tracks here.
I can see it now.
Yeah.
I can see now you want to track on, like a bump for something like 100, so.
Heh. There's an idea. So I wanted to re-listen to the original 3:15:20 just so I had more of a frame of reference for Atavista, which I did listen to, but it kind of slipped my mind. So just judging this on its own, it's all right. Yeah, it's a little bit bloated with a lot of the guest performances, but I think what kind of if there's a problem I sort of have here, it's like the same thing I had with listening to the music of Leon Thomas III. It's a bit overproduced. There's a bit too much studio trickery going on. It's like, again, it's like putting on too much cologne. You gotta back off on that stuff sometimes. And for this last one here, Orville Peck Stampede Volume 1. Again, only recently got into this artist, so take my opinion with a grain of salt, but I mean, I dug some of the songs on this thing. Like, Orville Peck, if you're looking for a really good country singer, absolutely check him out. This thing is like a duets record with a myriad of collaborators up to it, including the likes of Willie Nelson and Elton John, and it does sound pretty solid, all things considered. Alright, that takes care of the quick round stuff. And now we have to get to my one low light here. You already know what it is, so yeah, bring me the horizon, post-human next gen, aka I should have kept my mouth shut so Alice could suffer with me too.
Brad Taste Music fans, turn away now. You're not going to like this.
Because, like, man, I remember when we tag teamed that horrible A7X album, and I was hoping for a redux, but, you know, sometimes we can't always get what we want, just like I want this band to stop with whatever this is.
Okay, I will chime in and say we were fed a bill of goods with post-human survival horror, which had some good songs on there. Not every song was good, but there were some good songs on there. And we had false hope that they were going to take that style and move forward with it. And instead, we got this.
Yeah, so first of all, this has to be the worst track list I've seen in ages. Like, just looking at these song titles pisses me off. From the formatting to the actual names themselves. This looks like those SpongeBob memes where he's like, oh, doing the chicken noises. Like, you're saying stupid things. Just like, okay, so we have song titles here like Utopia, Y-O-U. Dark Side, A Bullet, W dash My Name On, fucking N/A, Pussy, and probably the most annoying to me personally, and just to inflict psychic torment on all of you, I'm gonna do a voice. Top 10 statues that cry blood, number 10. Yeah, sorry.
Oh no.
Chill's voice. You have to suffer with me! And not to mention, apparently, this is the last album with keyboardist Jordan Fish, who departed for what sounds like not entirely amicable reasons. But anyway, let's actually get for the album, I guess. So, once again, we have a record of the current BMTH style with a lot of stale, Hot Topic-ass metalcore cliches, mixed with obnoxious amounts of synths and glitchy electronics, just slapdashed together based on whatever sounds experimental and edgy and cool. But, like, only on a surface level. Like, it's experimental in the same way that the animation of Studio Gohan's it's experimental.
Oh, no.
At a certain point, experimentation and ambition have to give way to some basic competence. So, like, when I listen to this album, by the way, I just feel like there's the reheated leftovers of so many better fucking bands. Like, Utopia and Limousine kind of have, like, that shoegazy metalcore that was, like, it's like when you hear bands influenced by Deftones. Like I'm thinking of the band Loathe, which kind of has, like, that shoegaze element with lots of heavy metalcore guitars and such, which is so much better at this, by the way. Listen to Loathe. And then you have Dark Side, which makes me want to just listen to recent era Sum 41 albums. And I swear to God, when I listened to the song N/A, that chord progression sounded so much like it might, like the song started up as a possible bad cover of, what's that fucking song by the Pixies? You know, the da-na-da-na-da-na-na-na-na, whatever that song
is. Where is my mind? Yeah.
That fucking
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that song.
Ba-da-da. Yeah, Where Is My Mind? Love that song. Great song.
This ain't it, Chief. Similarly, listening to the chorus of the song Lost, it reminded me so much of, sounded so much like I'm Not Okay by My Chemical Romance, even in the vocal cadences. And when you combine that with so many of the annoying electronics, it sounds like a curled bad mix of MCR and like Porter Robinson's D-sides, basically. Also, I need to inflict psychic damage on Alex in particular, because the opening lyrics of Lost are literally Ollie singing about getting high on ketamine while watching Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Oh.
I am not making this up. This is actual lyrics on a commercial release that you can presumably pay not Monopoly money for.
Oh, God, okay. I hate you for making me do this. I am going to actually look it up and just... I need to know. I need to know how bad it can be. I'm just pulling it up here. Lost. Come on, load, you piece of shit. Yep, this is about the level of songwriting prowess I expect from this guy.
Fucking Oliver.
Ugh.
And the thing is, there's gotta be a way to make this work. Other artists have tried crazier genre experimentations and made it work. 100 Gex exists. But the songwriting here is never good enough to make all this stuff work together. Fuck. Speaking of ripping off other acts, this made me want to listen to other fucking electronic. Like, the electronic stuff here makes me think, huh, I could be listening to Igloo Ghost. And then the aforementioned top 10 statues that cried blood made me think, huh, I could be listening to Fire Tools right now and not this. Oh, and the guest features here, yeah, because this album has fucking guest features, don't really do much favors for them. Remember how Survival Horror had Baby Metal on it? Well, there's a song here, A Bullet With My Name On, which has Under Oath.
Ew.
Under Oath was never good, and Spencer Chamberlain is a mid-drummer at best. Get over yourselves, 2000s Hot Topic nerds. And for that matter, there's the song Amen, which I guess does feature some decent vocals by Daryl Palumbo from Glassjaw, but... Oh! Hi, Uzi!
Oh!
Just... You gotta turn the favor?
Just why?
I don't know. By the way, this has nothing to do with anything, but apparently there's some ARG bullshit attached to this album where, like, I guess some fans plugged some of the tracks into Audacity, revealing, like, some spectrograph QR bullshit that you could scan for what the fuck ever. I don't know. I don't care. I am done with this shit.
And to think, this was delayed by about 9 months so it can be this.
Now, at this point, I feel like there's an invisible question that I feel the urge to address. Which is worse? Post-human next gen or Life is But a Dream? Because these are the two worst rock slash metal records I've heard in a while.
Well, that's sort of two sides of the same coin. On one hand, you have a band trying to be quote-unquote prog in scope. And then there's whatever the hell fucking hyper-pop leftovers this is trying to be.
Yeah, but after giving it a bit of thought, I have decided Life is But a Dream is still so much worse. And here's why. Say what you will about how curdled and how spoiled the terrible mix of metalcore and electronics are on this album. At least it technically qualifies as a complete product. Life is But a Dream still sounds like the musical equivalent of a game like Cyberpunk 2077 that you can't even play on launch without downloading a 50GB day one patch to get the damn thing in a barely workable state. So I guess Ollie has that going for him. But otherwise, I'm just going to throw on Knocked Loose again. Save me, Brian Garrett. Yeah, and I should probably also mention, aside from that cringe Evangelion lyric, a lot of the lyrics here aren't doing Ollie any favors either. It's just a lot of comically over-the-top self-loathing and, like, other similar bullshit. I don't know. But just, I do not want. Do not want. So, there's my bitching for the year. Unless something worse happens. So, yeah, that concludes this roundup. So, thank you all for listening. We'll, of course, as always, have a playlist in the description of the albums we actually think you ought to listen to. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezzo. Like us on Facebook, SurrealResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. Of course, be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you're always notified whenever new stuff goes up on the site. You know where to find us and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, thank you for listening. We'll, of course, be back whenever the roundup for June happens. And we can pay off some of these lingering, dangling threads we've established. So, until then, peace out.